Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Make Sense with Mentalese, the show that places power in your hands and information for your mind. Let others leave small lines, but not you. Let others place their future in someone else's hands, but if you listen to the show, you'll make sure it's not you. We'll provide you with the keys, but it's up to you to unlock the door. Welcome to Make Sense with Mentalese, the show that has been established to expose you to the new professional, the new expert, the new men and women with the new idea that would take humanity into a new phase of life on this planet. Today's topic is preparing to win is more important than winning. And what do we mean by that when we say that? Well, what we're talking about is the situation where you have the guy who wins the lottery, not knowing that 78% of the people who win the lottery end up broke because they haven't prepared to get that money and save it and use it the right way. The individual who has taken the time or over a long period of time to develop their skills with money is better off than the individual who wins something that they're not prepared for. Oftentimes, we may need a coach. We may need somebody to bring it out of us when we don't know it, whatever it may be, is in us. Most of us aren't happy to have a coach, but we necessarily and all the time we need one. So today I have my guest, Delma Vasquez-Watt, who's a certified rehabilitation counselor, a licensed professional counselor, and a certified life plan coach. She has a passion for empowering individuals to live intentional, purpose-driven lives, and does this by offering a life plan program that helps her clients identify their values. So without any further ado, is my guest, Delma. Delma, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you. How are you?
I'm excellent. So go ahead and tell the listening audience a little bit about yourself.
Well, just like you said, I am a certified rehabilitation counselor. I'm a licensed professional counselor and a certified life plan coach. But I wasn't always that. I worked in the fitness industry for about 19 years. I've worked with individuals with disabilities, mental illness, and currently do counseling and coaching. I'm originally from Puerto Rico and grew up in Miami, Florida. So about 15 years ago, I moved to Northern Illinois with my son just to create a better life for myself and for him. And I haven't looked back ever since.
Excellent. So talk to us a little bit about life coaching. What exactly is life coaching? And why did you get in it?
Okay. Well, life coaching is very different from mentoring, consulting, counseling. Life coaching is forward thinking. It really incorporates a relationship, an alliance, so to speak, between the coach and the client. So that way you can tap into the full potential. Just like you were saying at the beginning, a lot of people don't prepare and they want something, but they aren't really prepared to achieve that. And so life coaching really helps the individual get prepared, develop the skills necessary in order to achieve bigger and better things. So just like an elite athlete wouldn't think of gaining victory without hiring a coach for insight and guidance and help and training, you know, individuals who really want to live a higher standard in their life recruit or hire coaches in order to achieve those things. So for me, I started life coaching because as a counselor, I saw that there was a big gap. Once the individual stopped counseling or they got to a healthy place, they just kind of floundered because they really didn't have a direction in their life. And I saw a lot of regression and relapse and just mind blocks and obstacles that people have. And so I wanted to be that gap, that bridge that helped individuals move from where they were to where they wanted to be.
That's, very good and excellent. So in doing that, what are the results you're seeing from your clients or individuals who are taking, you know, your plan?
Mm-hmm. Well, I do anywhere from motivational counseling through accountability. I've helped individuals do races like marathons to stay motivated, to stay training. I've helped individuals move forward and overcome anxiety and depression by actually moving in a forward-moving direction, by taking action. I've helped individuals get over fears and blocks that have held them back from really achieving success. I also help individuals that are in transition that need help creating a plan to either change careers or find out what career would be the best fit for their values, their personality style, their strengths. So it runs the gamut between, you know, those in transition, like from high school all the way to those that want to go from career to retirement, and just identifying the things that they need to move forward.
All right. So what are some things that you see that are the majority reasons that people are held back or unable to succeed?
That's a great question. So for me, the biggest thing that I see is there are a lot of mental blocks. And what I call them is limiting beliefs. So as we grow up, we get information overload from our parents, from family members, friends, school system, the media, you know, neighbors, that kind of thing. And so if we are fed negative information, we start to create these limiting beliefs that enable us to either feel a certain way that then in turn make us act or behave in a situation that either is a positive situation or negative. So if our limiting beliefs are all negative, then they hold us back because they create a reality, so to speak, for ourselves, and a glass ceiling. That's why, you know, when people say, well, I want to break through the glass ceiling, that's because you have some sort of mental block. So the biggest thing is really identifying what those limiting beliefs are, so that you can challenge them and really ask yourself, is that limiting belief a valid truth? Is there evidence that really validates that? Or is it just something that either your parents told you or a counselor, a school counselor told you, or a teacher, a coach throughout your athletic career? You know, anything that has kind of been ingrained in our mind will either propel us forward or hold us back. And so the mind is really the biggest starting point when coaching, because it could either set you up for success or break you down.
Right, right. So it's kind of like our past events are kind of like our roadmap. And we don't necessarily think of it that way, but it's our roadmap, and we tend to follow it unconsciously, well, subconsciously, every day of our lives, not realizing that it's causing the problems all the good things in our life. You know, it's really the roadmap that we have.
Exactly.
Okay, well, go ahead.
No, I was just going to just say that, yeah, our past events really dictate our behavior because, like I said, when there's a significant event that happens, we formulate a belief system around that event, and that then makes us feel a certain way, which in turn makes us act a certain way. So, you know, whether the event was positive or negative, we need to be able to process that in a way that will break us free from getting stuck. Otherwise, we will stay stuck inevitably.
Right. So in coaching and counseling, are you able to help a person dig deep enough to where they can actually get to the root of what they're dealing with? And they may not even have known it, but are you able to do that with that practice?
Yeah, so with coaching, I have the individual do two things. Number one is I have them, like I was telling you earlier, I have them list out every single limiting belief that they have. And that could include anywhere, anything from I'm not attractive enough for people to like me. It could also include I can't trust anybody. It could include, I'm not capable of accomplishing much. You know, those kind of things are limiting beliefs. So I have them write out all those thoughts in an index card, and then we go through them one by one, you know, getting to the root of the issue. Okay, why or where did this stem from, this particular belief? And it could be like, oh, well, my mom told me that, or one of the teachers said that to me one time. You know, it could be all just that. It could be just, oh, well, I just got this on my own. You know, it could be whatever. But then we identify where that stemmed from, and then we challenge it. And on the other side of the index card that I have them write that limiting belief on, we then rephrase that statement to a more positive, more correct, rational statement. Then I also have them do a timeline where they actually go back in time from birth and identify significant events, whether positive or negative, that have formed their life in one way, shape, or form. And so when we do that, it helps us have a bigger picture. We actually do it on a poster board, and we see it as a big picture so that we can see, oh, there's a trend of behavior, or there's a theme that has occurred. You know, if it's been positive, I have had one lady who has noticed that she's really strong at public speaking, and that, you know, through her events in her life, she has been able to use her gift of public speaking and has had significant events. There have been also people that have had traumatic experiences, and because of that, their self-esteem is lacking, and then you can actually see that through their life in their timeline. So those are the two big things that we do at the beginning that really help people identify the root of the problem of where that limiting belief came from.
Interesting. As you're talking, I'm thinking about self-talk and how mm-hmm. powerful is self-talk in the midst of all of this. Is that something that's that really we have a lot of power over that affects us, or is that just something that is really to the side with all of this?
No, I mean, we talk to ourselves more than anybody else talks to us. So we have to be very careful about that. And part of the exercise of writing things down and rephrasing it is I actually then encourage them to, in the morning and at night, read the rephrase of the statement that they rephrase the limiting belief. So, for example, let's say their limiting belief was I'm not capable, or I can't ever finish what I start. But in actuality, if you go through your timeline, you've accomplished a lot. You had your master's degree. You ran races. You were part of a championship team or whatever, you know. And then you then read those things out loud to yourself morning and night, to kind of create a new pathway of thinking. You know, it's kind of like, you know, when you're walking down a grassy pathway and there's a divot, that is created as people continue to pass through this pathway. Well, you're used to talking to yourself that way for many, many, many years. So you have to actually create a new pathway now. And the only way you can do that is by talking to yourself differently, by, you know, making sure that you're taking in more positivity through what you read, through the music you listen to, who you engage with, how you talk to yourself. You know, all those things, you know, play a part in self-talk, whether it's going to be a positive self-talk or negative self-talk.
Right. I think that's a very powerful, and especially if you're saying reading your goals or your affirmations right before bed, and right upon waking, because the subconscious mind is most active during that time. And that's what really a lot of our beliefs are created from, is from our subconscious mind. Mm-hmm. So that's very important. You know, is anything mm-hmm. you want to add on to that?
No, I always, like I said, encourage people to do that. And I also do it in front of a mirror, you know, because then you actually see yourself talking to yourself in a way, so you're using your senses, you know, more of your senses, your sight, your hearing, the touch of the card, or, you know, whatever your you know, those different types of senses, to really absorb that new information and make it a new way of life for you.
Right. And you did touch upon this a little bit about the music we listen to, the environment, the people we socialize with. But let's talk about each of those for a minute. How important are those, and in what way do they have an effect on us?
My parents, or my mom, I should say, would always say junk in, junk out. So whatever you look at, whatever you listen to, the people you are involved in, there's also a saying that we are the average of the five people we hang out the most. And so are you hanging out with key people that are going to build you up, or are they people who are going to hold you back because they themselves don't want to move forward? So music is very impactful. I mean, it can either motivate you or depress you, depending on the lyrics. And I know young people don't want to hear this because some of the music that they listen to, they think, oh, it's just a good beat or whatever. But you're really feeding your mind things that, and the things that we see, you know, those are visual files and hearing files that we actually hold in our brain that can never be deleted. And so that really impacts us, the way we then interact with other people, the way we think about ourselves. We identify with certain situations in music and movies that maybe aren't really rational. And so it creates a way of living that is really counterintuitive to really progressing if you're not careful about what you're listening to, watching, and who you hang out with.
Right, that's true. Everything that goes in comes out, and we're actually seeing in the world a lot of the things that are going into us are coming back out of us, and it's just a reflection of what's going on in our minds, really, in a lot of areas, mm-hmm. you know. And we actually have the power to change a lot of these things. It's actually not that hard, you know, when we look at it. You know, we make it harder than it actually is, I think. And that's why I'm glad I have you on the show today to discuss that. So in creating a plan, what are some of the first steps you take with the client? What are some of the things that you do with them?
Okay, so we touched a little bit about that earlier with regarding to identifying the beliefs. We do a timeline. And then once we move forward, we kind of process some of the things that need to be processed to kind of release ourselves and open the door for opportunities. I actually have them go through a values and personality assessment. And the reason why I do that is when we're really more self-aware of who we are, what makes us tick, you know, understanding, oh, that's why I do this, because I'm, you know, this way, or I'm a type A or whatever, you know, those kind of things. Identifying your personality will help you get into situations that you're best fitted for. And then the values is important because it will help you identify what are the things that are most important to you, so that way when we get to the place of creating and formulating goals, when people, places, and things call upon your time, call upon your attention, and if they're not aligned with your values, you're more courageous to say no to those things, and you don't have to feel guilty about saying no because you're clear about your values. And then identifying passions is what comes next. And that really is the way we live out our values. You know, what gets us excited to get up in the morning? What do we really want to accomplish? How are we going to add value to this world and to other people's lives? And then once we're kind of clear about who you are, your values, your core beliefs and that kind of thing, then we can actually formulate goals. Because without really knowing who you are, you know, you can formulate a goal that is really counterintuitive or against your values. And let me give you an example. Let's say your value is for being at home, but then you take on a career or a job that you end up working 60, 70 hours a week. Well, you're going to start to inevitably and eventually resent that job because it's going against your values of being home with your family more often. So you got to kind of be very clear about those things. So those are some of the strategies. And then once we formulate the goal and we create a plan, then I like to say that coaches are the vision holders for that, which means once you start off and running with your goal, when it starts to get into the messy middle where you're getting tired, you're getting fatigued, things aren't really working exactly the way you wanted it, the strategies you're using may not be as productive as you thought they were going to be, you know, we hold that vision to kind of redirect you back and help you identify the reasons why you started the process in the first place, why you created those certain goals, so that way you can gain motivation once again and finish the race. So those are some of the things that I have clients do in order to progress.
That sounds very detailed. And you can actually, when you're talking, you can see the progression and the direction the individual going. It's actually much more than motivation. It's actually a strategy, a plan, direction. You know, a lot of us get motivated. And I actually heard someone say one time that I can motivate you, but if I give you the wrong map, you're trying to get to Chicago and I give you the map to Detroit, you're a motivated person in the wrong place. But
exactly.
If I give you the right map, and that's actually what your life coaching plan does, it gives people the right roadmap to where they want to go and where they need to go. And everybody's happy when they get to where they want to go. You know what I mean? So motivation actually automatically comes along with that. And I think that's a beautiful mm-hmm. thing about coaching that a lot of people miss out on. A lot of us don't want coaching. Well, I'm used to that. This is just what I do. Not realizing that there's coaching in our lives in a lot of areas. You know what I mean? You look at the back of a cake mix box, and it's giving you the directions on how to make the cake. If you want to be successful, here are the directions. And a lot of us are not used to following those directions, and our life are a mess. You know what I mean? So I really appreciate you taking the time to give us this information. I really appreciate you taking the time to help people turn their lives around. We all need help. This isn't I can do it on my own. I can do this by myself. This is actually a team effort, and we all need coaches. Michael Jordan wouldn't be Michael Jordan without a coach. You name it. Everybody has a coach. Right now we're watching the NBA Finals, and you see LeBron James, Steph Curry. They all have coaches who have took them to the next area, you know, the next
mm-hmm.
level with practice. Is there anything else you want to say on this issue?
I think, you know, you hit the nail on the head saying everyone needs a coach. I mean, there's different coaches for different areas of life. But I think there comes a time where, you know, people will either follow directions or they just try to drift through life reacting to whatever comes their way without having a strategy or a plan in place to be proactive, to really live full lives. And so but I understand that. I mean, there is fear that is associated with not wanting to get a coach. There's a fear of failure. You know, a lot of people have perfectionistic mentalities where it's an all or nothing thing. If I'm not going to be good at this, then I'm not going to try at all. You know, there's a fear of success.
Right.
Like, how about if I do succeed in this, then what? People are going to hold me to a higher standard. Am I going to be able to sustain that higher standard? And then there's the fear of hard work and commitment. You know, people don't want to, you know, commit to something because it, you know, let's face it, hard work is exhausting. It, you know, it can be daunting. And, you know, when you're really moving in a forward-moving direction, there is going to be opposition that you're going to have to fight through, and that takes hard work and a dedication and a resolve that people have to come to a place of commitment in order to choose to make lifelong changes. So, you know, I think anyone could benefit from a coach in one phase in their life or other. You know, I myself have my own coach. I have my business coach that helps me run a successful business in order to just think of things that maybe I might miss myself. So, you know, I think there's a huge value in getting a coach in order to really accomplish what you really want to and dream big so that way you can have a higher level of living. And instead of just living your life day to day in a mundane way, it can be with passion, with direction, with a purpose.
Right, right. I myself have a coach as well. I'm a certified life coach. And one thing that I've done, I never had a coach up till last July. That's when I got myself a coach. And I can tell you the differences between then and now. The improvements, you know, there's things about myself that I didn't notice, I didn't observe, some good, some bad. But when you have a coach and they're helping you identify and helping you put a plan together, it is so valuable. It was very hard to share certain things with certain people, you know what I mean, with the coach. It's hard to give them that. But everything good doesn't come easy, you know. But this was actually one of the best things I've ever did. Not only being a life coach, but actually having my own coach, someone that was able to take me where I need to go. And actually that life coach also helped me get an accountability partner and somebody that I'm also accountable to. We're accountable to each other, you know, and when it comes to different things we have going on, I have this plan, and this plan. We'll make sure we're accountable. And then that networking and the doors that opens up for you is a very beautiful thing. And I think in this day and age with everything going on, having a life coach can only benefit you, you know, it can only benefit you. So can you tell the listeners how to get in contact with you, how to get your services, if they have any questions?
Yeah, great. Yes. So my website is www.highergroundlifecoaching.com. They can reach me there. They can also find me on Facebook at Higher Ground Life Coaching. You can, you know, message me either through my website or through Facebook. Also, my email address is Dalma, that's spelled D-A-L-M-A, at highergroundlifecoaching.com. And those are the easiest ways to get in touch with me.
Dalma, I want to thank you very much. You gave us a lot of great information. You gave me a lot of great information. And so I want to thank you. I know my listeners thank you. And I encourage everyone to re-listen to this and reach out. Talk to Dalma if you have any questions about life coaching or any other aspects of the things she talked about today. I encourage you to speak out or reach out and speak to her. Dalma, thank you very much.
Thank you, Menelik. I really appreciate this opportunity and for having me on your show.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you. You've been a blessing to the show, and I know my listeners and the audience have been blessed as well with the information. So I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thank you.
So join us next Tuesday. We will have Richard Taylor on. Richard Taylor is a national speaker, very impactful, very powerful. He has a very powerful story. And we want to end this month of May off right. We want to end it off with a bang. What we have going on in the month of May, this is Mental Health Awareness Month. And a lot of us do not pay attention to that aspect of our lives. And we want to show you how, in dealing with it, it doesn't make you weak. It actually makes you strong. You don't have anything nagging on you anymore. So join us next Tuesday at 1 p.m. Thank you for listening.